Hey, everybody, welcome in. Yeah, it's time. It is the post-Baylor edition of Three Guys Before the Game. We are bright-eyed, we are bushy-tailed, and we are ready to go. Thanks so much for being with us, Tony Caridi, along with the Senator, Brad Howe, and the Dean, Hoppy Kercheval. Gentlemen, it's just hours after West Virginia and Baylor got together. We all had an opportunity to get a little pillow time, but now we are back to discuss West Virginia and the Baylor Bears. We went into this game on our last podcast saying that West Virginia had to bounce back and had to emphatically bounce back. A win was going to be great, but you didn't want it to be 27-21. You wanted to see a dominant performance just so that we could finally, vomit away the taste of Iowa State. I was looking for a word, and what came into vomit? And they got it. My goodness, West Virginia sets a school record for most total yards in the first half of a game on its way to a 58-14 victory over the Bears, and we'll talk about it in detail. So, a bunch of different directions, a night that saw big, big-time numbers, some big-time performances. Shall we dive in? So, first off, Senator, biggest play of the game, in your opinion?
I think the game was over very
game
early.
Game over when?
Early. So, West Virginia scores on its first possession. It's up 7-0. Baylor comes back on its second offensive play, tries to hit Denzel Mims across the middle, and Kenny Robinson cut him in half. Ball game. Ball falls to the turf. Denzel Mims might as well have just gone back and got on the bus and headed back home. He wanted no part of playing the rest of the night. And the next possession for Baylor, what happened? Mims across the middle on the same play again. He's looking around. Ball hits him in the hands. Popped up. Interception for West Virginia. Game was over early. There's a lot of offensive performances to talk about, and we will, because of how bad this offense looked against Iowa State. But how about the defense? I think that was probably the story of the night. Tony Gibson's crew was fast. They were flying around. They created turnovers. But to answer your original question, I thought that thing was over after the hit on Mims. Done.
Hop?
Well, in a larger sense, one of my favorite movies is Wall Street. And the old broker says to young Bud, "Bud, when a young man stares into the abyss, then you discover your true character." And West Virginia, after that offensive performance at Iowa State, was staring into the abyss offensively. And you know what? They responded. You have to give this team and the leaders of this team and this coaching staff credit for getting them ready to play and coming out, and as you said, Tony, not just winning the game, but reasserting its offensive prowess. And we'll get to the defense in a moment because they were so critical in this game. But West Virginia was, they had a gut check, and they answered.
I agree, and I think that maybe for the first time this season, maybe not the first time, but one of the better performances of all-around performance. And the guys said this after the game was over, that each unit sparked the other. So the defense goes out there, they're making plays. That is a catalyst for the offense. The offense goes out there, they make plays, and then that defense got really, really loose. But we would be remiss if we did not heap a ton of praise, while we'll all talk about offense, a ton of praise on the job that Tony Gibson and the defense did. They once again put up spectacular numbers, 12 tackles for a loss. This team's character, or this team's kind of characteristic, has been making tackles behind the line of scrimmage. That's a dozen. That's the second most since they got 14 against Pitt back in 2011, the last time they had more than 12 tackles behind the line.
Yeah, this defense is on pace to shatter the record for tackles for loss. But it's really amazing what they've done with so many new parts. I mean, they truly have been next man up. You saw Shea Campbell, the Morgantown High product, have another good game after leading the team in tackles at Iowa State. He comes up with a pick. Javonte Stewart, we've talked a lot about him moving down from safety, so he has played. You saw Dante Stills making plays last night. It's just been one guy after another on that defensive unit. Can't be more impressed with how they've played.
You know, in basketball, when somebody, you give the guy the assist, right, and the assists matter, that defense gets a big-time assist. Think about this. That Tony Gibson's defense West Virginia started one drive at their own 45 after an interception. They missed that field goal, though. Then they started another drive at the Baylor 33 after an interception. They started a drive in the second quarter at their own 48 after a punt because the defense held Baylor to a three and out. They started another drive at the Baylor 33 after an interception. They started another drive at the Baylor 27 after a Baylor fumble. West Virginia's starting field position for the game was their own 40.
Unbelievable
and
number.
And Baylor's was their 25. So West Virginia played with a short field almost all night.
Yeah, plus 15 yards there in the field position. You'll win that. Dana has a stat. You've got to go back and get that from him. He unveiled that a couple years ago. When you're plus 10 in field position, it's something stupid like 99% of the time you win games. So you're right, Hoppy. That was a big key to last night's game.
Another stat that Dana likes is average gain per play. He thinks if you can get over 2 to 2.5 yards more per play, you normally end up winning the game. In the game last night, West Virginia averaged 9 yards per play, and Baylor was just over 4. So you had a 5-yard advantage per play, and that's huge.
And a lot of that 4 came late. It was 2.8 yards per play at halftime. Just absolutely amazing. Well, you guys have said the word a couple times tonight. Absolutely dominating performance. I mean, you come into this game looking at Baylor, and the stats were pretty similar. Charlie Brewer had a good season and was very good last year against West Virginia. I mean, this was almost Kansas-esque for Baylor, and give a lot of credit to West Virginia for that, but just absolutely ran them out of the building.
And I think what it does is it sets the table exactly how the table needs to be set for this month of November. So West Virginia next week goes into this game against Texas, and you know, half of this game is up here mentally where you are. Sometimes you need to think you're better than you actually are. I think West Virginia collectively, defensively now, goes in there and says, come on, let's go, regardless of who the quarterback will be. And that's a whole other story for Texas down the road. But I think they've got that confidence about them.
Could I?
Yes, you may.
Just rain a little bit on the parade here, just a little bit. In that you still have to have a concern. And maybe Brad's going to say, doesn't matter, just pass the ball every down. Doesn't matter, just pass for 500 yards. Who cares? But West Virginia still, still is struggling to run the ball. Now, Tevin Bush had the big run for 79 yards. But you take that away, and you only have 112 yards rushing. Martell Pettaway, 35. Sinkfield, 28. Kenny McCoy, 23. And West Virginia, particularly in short yardage situations and down on the goal line, just cannot dominate that offensive line and can't open holes for the running game. And at some point, is that going to bite you? This Baylor defense, not to take away from the offense, but the Baylor defense is not good. Okay, and when you play a better defense like Texas, is the inability to run going to cost you?
Well, it may, and that's what we're going to see. And I'll add to that stat you just gave about the Bush. If you add the Pettaway 33-yard run to Tevin's Bush, that's 65% of the rushing yards came off just two carries. So it is a concern that you can't, but you're going to have to throw it. I mean, this team throws it. It's going to have to run it just enough to help in certain situations, but this team is going to win games based on throwing it. It's got to. It's not running it well.
I don't think it's fair to take away the Pettaway rush and say that one doesn't count, but I do think it is fair to say that the Tevin Bush run doesn't because it was a jet sweep. So if you do that, it's 2.9 yards per carry. And I don't care if you've got Will Greer, and I don't care if you've got Jennings, and you've got Sills, and you've got Sims, and you got these great receivers. I am still to the point where when you absolutely must be able to run the ball, you've got to be able to do it. Unfortunately, through 7 games this season, West Virginia has proven that it's not going to be a good running team. That's going to hurt them.
Got to find some other way to do it.
And Baylor is giving up 6 yards a carry.
Worst rush defense in the Big 12.
Right.
So you would have hoped that they would have been gone in there and just been able to crack them and open up holes. Can't do it. Now, can they get a little bit better? Maybe, but it is what it is.
That's what I'm saying. It is what it is, and if it ends up costing games, I mean, it very well may. This team's going to have to just find a couple holes to run it, keep them on it. Will Greer's going to have to probably keep a few and get outside. You saw him do that last night.
He's a touchdown machine. Touchdown machine.
Well, you're in that stretch run now. Now you can turn him loose a little bit let him run the ball.
I mean, when they were in short yardage last night and they needed a yard or whatever it was, or 2 yards, was it 2 yards or 3 yards, whatever it was, and they, you know, they faked the run up the middle and that wasn't going anywhere, and Greer made a play. Right. I mean, Greer made a move.
And I think that was one of the hallmarks last night, especially given right on the heels of that Iowa State performance. You heard David Sills in the postgame talk about the aggressive play calling. I thought you saw some things last night you hadn't seen. You saw much more motion. You saw the tight end, six catches out of the tight ends, right? Your 35 numbers back in play again.
In case you're wondering, 17 on the season, 17 receptions by tight ends, halfway home.
I spent all that Iowa State game screaming about the middle of the field. West Virginia found it the other night. So I think that was, give some credit to Jake Spavital and that offensive play calling
as well. And they had, speaking of play calling, they had a great call early on Jennings, where it was that, it was a wheel route, but they used the receiver.
Yep.
And I mean,
it brought him in motion. Wheel route, yeah.
And Baylor just didn't know what to do, and Jennings was wide open. It was a great call.
Yeah, it really was. And I also, we talked about quick start. How about the first two plays they ran?
Yep.
West Virginia scores on a 75-yard three-play drive to start the game. Two little quick hitters.
Right.
It's all you need. Get the ball out on the perimeter, let those guys make some plays, and then that did set that up for that nice little call right there, and West Virginia was off and running. So a lot of things in that game. Evan Staley has his leg encased in ice. He was brought in there, so he's kicking field goals, right? He's kicking the ball off. He's kicking extra points. He may have lettered in that game. Just last night alone, he may have lettered in the game. But in all seriousness, it was good to see him hit a couple of field goals of distance. He missed that 44-yarder,
right.
Had one blocked.
Right.
It would have been easy for him to kind of go into those things that kickers do and mentally shut it down. But they set him up nicely in the middle of the field for a 25-yarder, comes back and hits a 44-yarder, had himself a nice game.
And a 47-yarder.
And a 47. That is going to be important as the season goes on. So now Dana needs somebody against Texas, and it's a 42, a 43, a 44. Come on, bud. You did it. Go do it again.
Yeah,
that's good.
You're exactly right on that. That did not matter in the Baylor game in terms of score, but that probably comes up as you move down the stretch where you're going to have some drives that stall and you need to go get points somehow. So you have a lot of confidence, Evan Staley.
And then the 44-yarder that he missed, it wasn't like he shanked it or, I mean, he kicked it straight. He was on the hash and kicked it straight. He just didn't hook in. He had plenty of distance.
Right.
So it wasn't as bad a night. I mean, you missed two, you say, wow. But he was fine. He was fine.
Running back, we knew going into the season, was going to be done by committee, and that is holding true. So now through seven games, Kennedy McCoy, 366 yards. Letty Brown, 312 yards. Martell Pettaway, 278 yards. It's interesting, guys. We talk about the inability to consistently rush the ball, and yet each of those three guys is averaging over 5 yards per carry. Why is that, Senator?
Some big plays. Some big plays mixed in there. I mean, I would like to see one of them take the lead, though. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like to see one guy separate himself? You can still play all of them because I think they all bring different things to the table. It was good to see Sinkfield get back in. You threw him the football and got him down the field. Letty Brown seems like the guy that's most ready to take that job, but he just hasn't separated himself yet. And some of that's due to the injuries he's faced the last couple weeks.
Well, I don't know. If you don't have the guy by now, I'm not sure you have the guy. So this is, I guess, working out. But again, it comes back to when they try to run between the tackles, there's nothing there. I mean, in deference to those running backs, what's there? There's no hole.
There's no hole, but that is some on the back as well. I mean, you've got to be able to make some people miss at some times also. It's not just on the offensive line, so those have to work in concert, but that is an issue. There's no question moving forward.
Are we taking Will Grier for granted? He just goes out there and strokes up another 300-yard game. He throws three touchdown passes, doesn't throw a pick. Season numbers now, 2,272 total yards passing, 25 touchdowns to 7 interceptions, so he's 3-1 there. And he's averaging 325 yards per game. I saw a note from the esteemed curator of Mountaineer Sports, John Antonik, where he now has either tied or eclipsed Mark Bulger for touchdown passes. Think about that. Mark was there for three, and this is basically a season and a half for Grier.
Well, for Grier, you now can look at the Iowa State game and go, whew, that was a one-off. And he bounced back extremely well. And also, Jake Spavital did a great job of giving him more completable plays because they were looking downfield against Iowa State. Iowa State took that away. They never really adjusted. And he was throwing the ball all over the place, you know, last night. I mean, he was going to the tight ends. He was going, you know, to the flat. So he bounced back. Coaching-wise, they bounced back. And performance-wise, Grier bounced back.
Give him time to throw, and he's lethal. I mean, that's the bottom line. And again, you're right on Jake mixing in some different routes. And how about one in particular stood out to me? They ran that screen pass, Tony, and they didn't just do the normal drop back screen pass, let everybody come through and you dump it over the middle. They rolled Greer to the right on a screen pass. I don't know that I recall seeing that out of West Virginia. So it wasn't just your typical screen. Put him on the move a little bit, and I think that was the one to Sinkfield, got him out in the open. So I think that's just the key with Will Greer. You give him some time to throw, and you're going to have a real tough time stopping him defensively.
Absolutely. So what did we learn? Where does this put us? West Virginia is 6-1 overall. They are 4-1 now, Hoppy, in loop play. And it sets us up here for this stretch of November against the Texas Longhorns. Injury-wise, Marcus Sims, you got to be concerned a little bit there. That was a, by the way, why the heck wasn't that a penalty?
Was it a flag? The guy jumped on him. He's down.
Why was that not a penalty?
Agree.
Should have been.
Agree. They missed it.
He took it, right? How the hell do you miss that? It's in the middle of the freaking field between the hash marks.
Absolutely.
And the guy comes in and freaking biffs him. That's an a player that's non-defensible.
He's down.
How do you miss that?
I don't know. Did.
That's rhetorical, obviously, because you can't answer that. I don't know how you miss it.
But anyway, so he doesn't get reps in at receiver. But you saw, you know, boy, they were running a lot of guys out there. A lot of Dominique Maiden. He was out there, although it wasn't a factor. He was open, wide open for a touchdown, but Will overthrew him on that one opportunity. You also saw Bryce Wheaton late in the game. Now, Hoppy, that's the grandson of Garrett Ford, and he is a kid that's a true freshman that Dana said had been doing well in practice, and they gave him that's his first time out onto the field, so he's got three more, but he's a guy for the future. Quantel Raines, a kid that they've been raving about. He went out there. He also got his opportunity to get a little bit. And we already mentioned Shea Campbell. And it's a great story. Number one, I love walk-ons who persevere and get onto the field. I really love walk-ons who persevere and get onto the field when they're from West Virginia. And I really, really love when they're walk-ons, the persevere, they get out of the field, and they're from the high school, and they're from over here at the high school. The Shea Campbell story is a great, great story. Here's a kid that comes in, and let's face it. I mean, when he came into the program, I mean, he wasn't even in the mention of invited walk-ons, right? It was no big deal. Gets field time. Dylan Tonkery is injured. You take a look at West Virginia's stats right now, and Shea Campbell has quickly climbed on the tackle list. And he's sitting there with 19 stops on the season. He's got three less tackles than Dylan Tonkery does on the season. That's a great story. You want to hear another great story?
Sure.
I'll give you another great story. How about this one? West Virginia used three different kids to kick the ball off because Staley basically had worn his leg out, right? One of the kids was a kid named Casey Legg from down in the Charleston area. Had never played high school football. Soccer kid. He's a kicker. So he not only goes out there and kicks off, he makes that tackle. It was a man's tackle, too. It was a man's tackle. Like, come here, I'm going to make a man. That's an unbelievable. That's a Rudy moment that kind of happens, and you can kind of let that slip by. And here's Casey Legg bulldogging a guy down on the – those are great memories.
If you're going to have a successful season, you need a lot of things. And one of the things you need is just what you talked about. You need some guys to step up that you didn't expect or weren't counting on. And you know, you get some of those things when you're having a great year.
It's such a monumental win last night, though. Think about that. Think about what could have happened had you lost that game. I think season's over if you lost that game. Very rarely can you bounce back so quickly from such a bad performance as well. It's like that's totally erased, and now you're staring down the throat of Texas, which could make the season. You're going to beat a number 6 team in the country?
There's only one way you could have reconciled or dealt with Iowa State, and that is precisely what West Virginia did. And so that's important. That's hugely important. The second thing is you're back in the national discussion. You're not thrust in it because you beat Baylor, didn't beat a top 25 team, but you're back. And you're going to be in the discussion. I mean, CBS Sports this morning reports West Virginia needed a get-right game after its loss to Iowa State 2 weeks ago. Yes, the number 13 Mountaineers got right with an emphatic win.
Now, was that your son that wrote that?
That's Ben Kirchhoff who wrote that. I would say. But the point being that nationally it's like, oh, okay. All right, they're back. They're back in the discussion. And that's important.
Yeah, it is. How about this one? This one may or may not have remembered. So 88. Now, 1988, Brad. Now, you weren't here yet. We won all of them in 1988, won all the games. And the famous game was the Penn State win and ran them off the field. 41 points in the half in that game. Yeah, 41 points in the half, and West Virginia equaled that.
Didn't Major 41. Harris have a good run in that
game? Yeah, he had a good run. And think about this. So we talked about the couple missed field goals that West Virginia had in that first half. What if they converted those into either touchdown, the field goals, or the touchdowns? The number would have been over 50.
Well, there's that. And then, Will Grier, we talked about how great he was. He did overthrow David Sills on a wide-open touchdown, Gary Jennings on a wide-open touchdown. And yeah, they put up 58, and it could have been a lot more.
But we were talking about this in the first quarter, Brad and I were, that there was actually concern that West Virginia was dominating. They were playing on Baylor's side of the field, and it came away with only 10 or 13 points. Oh, my gosh, why are you letting them hang around? And again, you got to credit the West Virginia defense for just not taking its foot off of Baylor's throat during that time.
Continuing
to give the offense opportunities until they took advantage of it.
100% agree. The defense changed the entire complexion, because it would have been easy to go, oh, woe is us offensively if you don't, and if Baylor starts to move the ball. But instead, defense just says, we'll take the ball right back, here you go, and that set it up.
Multiple times.
Yes.
It wasn't just one. It was like multiple times, and then West Virginia's offense finally said, all right, we got it.
And Charlie Brewer's pretty good. I mean, he was averaging 320, 330 yards a game passing. And, I mean, he completed one pass. Kind of feel bad for the guy and blame his receivers a little bit. I mean, he got sat down.
I'm not sure I can tell you the last time I've seen a quarterback with a negative quarterback rating as Mr. Brewer did yesterday.
You will never see – I'll never is a long time. 1 of 8 with 3 interceptions. And, you know, they still – haven't officially said what it was, but his coach said he wasn't him.
Yeah.
Something messed, you know, either they're being nice and saying he got, you know, something happened. He said he didn't look right. He didn't look totally out of it. That's why they took him out of the game, took him out of the tunnel. He went down the tunnel. That's the first game in his career he's thrown more than one interception in a game. And the third one that Shea Campbell got, I mean, that was total discombobulation, right? He's just kind of wandering out there. Yeah. Should I run? I'll just dump it, and he throws it behind Hasty, and Campbell's there to pick the ball off. So, yeah, and you have those days, right? We know about that. West Virginia just had one its previous game where nothing seems to go right for you, and that's just the nature of the beast. You're never as good as you think you are. You're never as bad as you think you are. It's somewhere in between.
Is that a major speed bump or a major hurdle for Baylor? Which Matt Rhule thought had on the way back, and you know Texas was kind of a moral victory, if you will. But man, they're stunned.
This is their week now to do some soul searching, right? They thought they were on the way back. They were doing some good things. They thought maybe a bowl game was in reach, and it still may be. But they're back to the drawing board, square one today.
They're back in Waco. They're kind of scratching their head because they come in here and they get beat emphatically, 58-14. Last year, after their bye week, Oklahoma State beat them 59-16. So they've got some evaluation to do. And, you know, West Virginia was not great coming off of bye weeks, right? What was your stat that you had?
Under Dana, 2-11 against the spread off of bye weeks.
2-11. Now, they beat the spread last night. Now, you follow these things. Now, they beat the spread last night.
Yeah, I think it's that thing we said very early in the week. Didn't we say on Monday?
You were incredulous over the line.
I was. I thought, why is it 14? Yeah. It should look a lot closer than that. So you lean into those. When you get the weird ones from Vegas, you lean in. That was an indication West Virginia might roll. Now, I don't know that anybody thought they'd win by 44.
What was the over-under?
66. So it hit that as well.
But there was, I tell you, I think there was a lot of the money coming in on Baylor on that.
Late it was. Yeah, but that was the weird line there. You got to lean into it, Kurtzable. That's your lesson of the day.
We did.
When you find a weird line, lean into it.
You know, he's gone to the graduate level now on sports betting when he says now he knows when the money is coming in and where the money's coming in from late. See, that's different. That's like basic guys do. Here's the line, and here's the over under.
He's graduated. There's a lot more nuance.
Yeah, the Sharps brought a lot of money in late and then pushed the line. Yeah.
Then Sharp on Baylor.
What's the line on West Virginia, Texas?
That's a good question. If you're a West Virginia fan, you want Texas to be favored.
Please.
It's an amazing difference between Tom Herman's record against the spread as an underdog 23-1 against the spread in his last 24. When he's a favorite, just 4-14 against the spread. So I think if you're a West Virginia fan, you want Texas to beat Oklahoma State. Even though I know a loss for Texas would technically help you in the standings, I think you want Texas to win. You want Texas to be a 3-4 point favorite, and West Virginia goes in and looks for a marquee win.
Agreed. You do not want Texas. You don't want Tom Herman as a home dog in a huge game.
Agreed.
You're right. You want Texas to be decisive against Oklahoma State, win, and then come in, and then everybody's all giddy about Texas, and you want them to be a 3-3.5 point favorite. And West Virginia go, oh, nobody respects West Virginia. Nobody thinks you can win. That would be the perfect scenario for West Virginia.
Yeah, exactly right. As regular listeners to this podcast know, we are sponsored in part by Daniel's Men's Store. Now, Hoppy, listen to this story. Now, the senator was over at Daniel's before the game.
That.
Oh, he already told you about it. Yeah, what happened?
So yesterday, before heading into the studio for our 9 hours of broadcasting the game, walked over and I was into Daniel's checking on Fine Looking Phil to see how things were
just
going.
Just seeing how he was.
Yeah, I was just, and I wasn't even talking to anybody. I was just walking around the store looking at things, and all of a sudden I heard some guy at the counter say, yeah, I listened to three guys before the game, and then I hear Phil bark out, well, great. Hey, Brad, we got a listener. I walked up, met the young gentleman who listened to the podcast, walked into Daniel's, said he listened, and got 30% off on his West Virginia gear purchase.
Yeah. That's awesome.
We had a nice conversation.
So is that still on?
Still on, sure.
So if you go to Daniel's Men's Store, tell him you listened to three guys before the game, you get 30% off all of their WVU gear and WVU apparel. 30% off. Just go into Daniel's Men's Store and tell him you listened.
And you never know when you're doing that. One of us may be in the store and just pop out and say hello to you.
I've got another one before we close it off.
I'm staffing it this afternoon, 3 to 5.
I got one here, Hoppy. So
you'll think it's you or me. It won't matter.
Well, here, I had one of those last night.
Okay.
So for whatever reason, folks, people through the years continually confuse Hoppy and myself. They call me Hoppy. They call him Tony. It happens all the time. And obviously, we don't look tremendously alike. Now, our voices, I guess, are somewhat similar. This is all-time best. So I'm in the press box last night, and I'm walking down the hallway. And this guy comes up to me, who's in some sort of an official capacity, like one of the Big 12 supervisors of some sort. He said, hey, I listened to your show on the way up. I said, that's great. He said, you're absolutely right. I said, I heard you and the senator. And I said, well, thank you very much. I appreciate you listening very much. He said, you know, it's absolutely amazing that they dumped over 5 million pills in those pharmacies here in West Virginia. And that's when I hit me. He's not talking about that senator. He's talking about Hoppy and a real senator. And I said, thank you very much. He goes, you were right on that. That was a great show. And I said, thank you. Because I wasn't going to, I just let it go.
It happens all the time.
It happens all the time. So on that note, hey, whatever you do, folks, don't tell anyone that the Mountaineer basketball team has a triple secret scrimmage closed this weekend against the Boilermakers of Purdue.
Bigger story.
But
tell
you know what
story.
You can tell them?
Yeah.
Kenyon Martin Jr. In town here over the last couple of days.
Yes,
another possible big recruit for West Virginia. Could that be coming soon?
We watched highlights of Kenyon Martin Jr. last night during commercials.
He can play, huh?
He can play.
Tell you what helps.
He's
here. He's on the visit. He's on the visit, right? So now you don't think when they brought the basketball team out onto the field last night and it just exploded the crowd up there. Now you don't think Kenyon was watching that, do you?
Calculated? Do they do that on purpose?
Well, they do bring them out occasionally out there, but I think that was a nice little move right there to show the kid, hey, basketball's a big deal here when that crowd starts rocking there. And Huggs did not have his Daniel suit on. He had his practice gear
on. He did
on.
Look nice in that Daniel suit at Media Day,
though. Very, very sharp.
Well, this will be interesting to watch Kenyon Martin Jr. You know about Oscar Tshiebwe coming on board last week, and you've got Kenyon Martin Jr., whose dad, Kenyon Martin Sr., famously said, he didn't go to the University of Cincinnati. He went to the University of Bob Huggins.
Huggs has got his own college, right? Jerry Falwell and Bob Huggins. Well, each have their own college.
I mean, think about it for a second. West Virginia's basketball team in the Sweet 16 last year. This football team is on a roll. These are the good old days.
Yeah, what was that stat? There are only two schools in the country right now that have a football and a basketball team ranked in the top 15, and West Virginia is one of them. I've said it. I'll go on record forever and ever.
Pretty amazing.
That is the most difficult thing to do that there is. consistently do that.
Yeah, talk. Does Kansas do it? Not really.
Yeah, we haven't even gone down to that.
Well, that's a whole other story there, Hoppy.
That's a whole different story. All right, music's on. You know why? Because it's the weekend, and Dawny Iris has got to play somewhere, and we got to get him out of here, our house band. We're out. Thanks so much for listening. Share our podcast, by all means. Back on Monday, right, boys? We'll break down the Texas game against Oklahoma State. We'll look ahead to the Mountaineers and the Longhorns. Back on Monday, three guys before the game. Thanks for being with us. See y'all.